and welcome to another episode of Worst Collection Ever, presented by the Sideshow Network, the show where we tell you about our shit-tacular comic book collection. I'm Jen.
I'm Sean.
And today, we are so lucky to have a guest with us.
Are you lucky, though?
No, we're so very lucky.
Oh, well, thank you.
It's hard to, like, pull this off sometimes.
It's weird. I'm so used to doing it with ourselves. I'm like, what do I say?
Right. I forgot how to talk to people that aren't us.
Because we've done this live before. Anyways, well, you know, I'll just introduce our guest.
Yes.
Our guest is Ken Reed.
Ken Reed.
It's Ken Reed.
Yeah.
Because I know you go by Kenneth Reed.
Occasionally. Yeah, well, because it's Ken Reed is taken on almost everything. There's three other Ken Reeds, actually. One of them is dead, but pertinent to this show was a Scottish comic book artist and used to do amazing sort of grotesque artwork, like a lot of stuff like Basil Wolverton style stuff.
Okay.
And if you Google Ken Reed Scottish comics, you'll find some great like monster drawings. One is a conservative Southern politician. And one is a photographer, but the conservative Southern politician, occasionally I will get emails from the press thinking I am him, even though my site is clearly a comedy site.
Right.
And I will give them quotes. And one was printed in a newspaper in Virginia, and it was crazy. It was something about like the local teachers union where I was just like, they're a bunch of commies and they can go fuck themselves. Sorry, I didn't mean to swear.
No, really, no.
Okay.
No.
We'll be doing plenty of that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have anything to say if I didn't swear.
So he got very mad at me about that.
No.
Very
well,
cool.
Then you're doing the Lord's work.
I think so.
Yeah.
Well, Ken, I know Ken. We know. Am I loud again?
A little.
We've been having this. Okay. So, by the way, we're also taping this at the Sideshow Studios in Los Angeles.
It's very swanky.
Yes, right here in Hollywood, California.
Right above the Hollywood Improv on a Sunday, a very rainy Sunday here in LA. And
it's homey for me.
It's good.
Ken is from Boston.
Yeah.
And I know Ken. So I know Ken from Boston. Jen and I, when we were in Boston, we used to do stand up, or I used to do stand up. Mm-hmm. Jen used to write for sketch for IB.
I did.
Improv Boston.
Yeah.
And I know Ken from just the scene and stuff. And actually, the what really got me into asking you to come join us here today was your Instagram. First of all, I have a few questions about your Instagram.
Okay.
But your Instagram, you would like things on Instagram, because I typically take pictures of panels, comic book panels and stuff like that, and you would like them and stuff, and you know, and you sometimes you would comment, and you know, and you had really good taste, you know, kind of I felt like we had the same kind of taste. And I was like, oh, this feels right. So, you know, maybe I'll reach out. And I know you come out to LA every so often. And, you know, and I like to, you know, mix it up here.
Oh, yeah.
Have people guests and stuff like that. That's my job. And, you know, I was like, yeah, sure. Let's see if Ken's up to it. And he's into it. So we're going to talk about some great books here. But I got to ask you real quick about your Instagram.
Yes.
Do you steal pictures from, like, funerals and post those, like, you know, when they have like the collages, and like they're like, all right, you know, we're done with this collage, we throw it out. Because all of your pictures, if you've ever seen Ken's Instagram, which is Kenneth W. Reed,
yeah,
at Kenneth W. Reed R-E-I-D,
yep,
on Instagram, they look like there's so many photos of people's, like, they look like very personal photos.
Yeah, they're just snapshots of people I don't know. And actually, I was before the show, I got here a little early, and there's like a flea market every weekend at Fairfax High School. And this guy had two huge bins of just random snapshots that he must have got from estate sales and that sort of stuff. I didn't buy any because I would have had to buy a new bag of luggage.
Right.
But
right.
I go to flea markets in the summer and
also you actually do harvest these photos.
Yeah, some of them. And then some of them it's cheaper. I found that a lot of people just sell them on eBay. So I'll just right click steal ones that instead of buying them.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are from eBay, but they're snapshots. And some of them are, just boxes of photos I'll buy from flea markets that I scan.
That's awesome.
That's such a fascinating situation that somebody actually sells personal photos to other people.
Well, I guess it's like cleanouts, or, you know, they don't have any family, or, you know, which is kind of sad, or like storage locker stuff. So they're kind of getting a new life.
Wow.
Because awesome.
I don't know if you know, there's a Boston comic named Nick Chambers, who's hilarious.
Okay.
And he actually, every Friday, puts out a song he writes based on a photo from that Instagram. And he's a genius. Like, look up Nick Chambers' Fake Song Friday if you haven't seen it. And he had been following those for like a year, and he emailed me one day, and he's like, Ken, can I ask you a weird question? And I was like, yes, please do. And he's like, I've been writing songs about these Instagram photos for you. Is it okay if I share them? And I'm like, yes, please do. And there, he's done about 50 of them, and they're amazing. This last month, he did one where I had a series of photos of this weird dude who was going out on all these dates, and there were pictures of him on like a cruise and all this stuff. So he decided this guy's name was Tim, and he's all month been telling a story about this guy's Tinder dates. And it's like a linear. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Oh, that's awesome.
I just, I love it because it reminds me of like photos that I used to have in my, you know, my family, and it would just be like, you know, like a picture of somebody holding a beer.
Yeah.
And it'd be like 1984.
And you're like, why did someone take this picture?
Right.
Yeah. Like what, to what, the sun, by the way, we're all, the sun just went nova outside. So this happens all the time in LA.
Mm-hmm.
It just fascinates me. So I didn't know if I wanted to know how the sausage was made.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I was like, I think this needs to be shared. So if you are listening out there, please check Ken out on Kenneth W. Reed, R-E-I-D, on Instagram. You will not be disappointed. He is fantastic. And you also, real quick, you have we got to talk about your podcast.
Oh, yes, please do.
The TV Guidance Counselor podcast.
Indeed.
Which I think another reason why I felt compelled to ask you to join us here today is because your show is very high concept in the sense of like you have content, like already made content, and you just be like, all right, I'll get somebody in, we'll talk about it, and we have a show.
Yeah.
And
it's a kindred spirit to this show.
Yeah.
And it kind of all fits into like the old snapshots and stuff like that, as I've always been sort of a collector of ephemera and have collected comics my whole life. And television is incredibly important to me. I had a pretty horrible childhood, so it was my escape, and TV Guide was the thing that I used to pay for my own subscription for. And I would sit down every Wednesday when it came out, and I would have a notebook, and I would write down everything I was going to watch that week. Mm-hmm. And it was the best because it gave me something to look forward to, and it was very consistent. And so I had this huge collection of TV guides, and my stand-up is almost zero popular culture stuff. It's all sort of stories about growing up.
Right.
But I had this rack of TV guides in my living room, just a full size like store rack in the corner filled with TV guides, and people would come over and they'd kind of flip through them, and we'd chat about like, oh, remember this show? Remember this? And Boston comedian Sean Sullivan actually was like, why don't you just do this as a podcast?
Yep,
so that's what we do. And I have someone pick an old issue of TV Guide. They go through and we talk about what they would have watched that week. And it's just this kind of a dumb thing, and it's amazing to me. I've gotten to meet all these people who are on these shows I watched.
Yeah, I saw just recently when you were out here, you had Cynthia Rothrock as a guest.
Right, yeah.
Which was fascinating to me because she would star in those movies on like
Showtime
Cinemax. Or Cinemax. Yep. But they weren't like the softcore movies. They were the movies that were on before the softcore movies.
Yeah, China O'Brien, Lady Dragon.
Yeah, like Tiger Claws.
Yep.
Like she would, you know, she would be out there because there was like she didn't do like the sex and the nudity, but she just beat people up. So it was like something to kind of get you like get your adrenaline pumping. And
for
then
man night.
And then midnight, you're like, you know, then it's like Emmanuel.
Yeah, it's a hot cool down.
Yeah. Yeah, Cinemax kind of did that. They would be like feature movie at like 8, Cynthia Rothrock at 10, and then like, you know, like, you know, some
Wild Orchid 2, Wild Two Shades of Blue.
Yeah, like not the one with Mickey Rourke in it, but like the one.
Actually, that was too classic. It was more like Inner Sanctum.
Yeah.
They would have on, yeah. Or they'd premiere Pamela Anderson's Snapdragon.
I'm trying to think of
Witchcraft series was big.
Animal Behavior.
Yep. Or if Andrew Stevens was in any of them, you knew you were in
Andrew
trouble.
Stevens or Shannon Tweed, of course.
Yeah, Shannon Tweed the mother from That 70s Show and Sheena.
Tawny Kitaen.
Not Tawny Kitaen. Tawny Roberts.
Tawny Roberts. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tawny Kitaen did. No, Tawny Kitaen did it.
Tawny Kitaen was in Witchboard.
Yes.
That was a big one, which is a good horror movie.
Yeah. 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 So those were all, that's how Cynthia Rothrock, because I'm kind of explaining this.
Well, I'm not confused at all. This is how our podcast usually works is Sean explains things to me.
Yeah.
And then I usually say, oh, neat. Or, that's fucking stupid.
Right. Or that's neatly stupid.
Stupid. So yeah, it's either one, but that's really how this works. Is John, like, cause I like, I remember like Emmanuel, right. and like all
like
those,
a normal
like,
person.
Yeah, I remember them, like but like I don't remember the titles or like who was in them. I'm just like, oh yeah, there was boobs in those movies.
Yeah, but things all like people like me and Ken were like, oh well, Moni Gabriel starred in like the Emmanuel 5, right. and that was, she was the American one.
Yeah, and then you had Black Emmanuel with Laura Gemser, which was the really weird one. Yeah, and Jill Shepard did the one Emmanuel movie.
And then there was Emmanuel in Space, that was the anthology
Emmanuel
series.
Emmanuel in Space?
With, but yeah, but she wasn't really in space.
Yeah. She well, kinda, I mean,
she was on a set.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, she was not actually.
It wasn't like
in
one of those
space.
Movies that's actually shot in space.
Yeah.
I kind of wish
all
they did shoot
movies.
Her into space. Yeah. And they were just like, all right, we're just going to film this in space.
Were there just like 15 minutes of like anti gravity boob shots? Is that what was going on?
It was a Barbarella ish. Yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah, it was like that. Yeah. But okay, mostly the time it was like, oh, the one time I went to the doctor and I had sex with everybody. And that was.
Yeah. But Cynthia Rothrock was, she's an amazing martial artist, and she was in all the Golden Harvest movies with Jackie Chan and Yuen Biu, and she was the American over there, and she was the inspiration for Sonya Blade in the Mortal Kombat
games. Yes, yes, oh, cool. I could totally see that.
But she also did voices on Eat the Cat and was in Robot Chicken and played one of the Duke's, Daisy Duke's cousin in the Dukes of Hazzard reunion movie, and it's just a really interesting, weird career, so it's fun to get to talk to people like that and hear about kind of what they watch, but also just these odd careers they've had.
Yeah. And then, and then to top it off, you're talking to them about, so let me get this straight though. You show up with like a TV guide. You're like, hey, Cynthia Rothrock,
take a look through these.
Take a look through this TV guide and tell me what you would have watched in 1993.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, sure. And then she kicks, you know, something and then.
Right.
You know,
it's we talked about the Twilight Zone and the episode that still scares her to this day. And, you know, how she watches Charlie Brown Christmas every year with her dad and why she first started watching it. And so even, you know, I try to, you know, it's people who I'm friends with. It's people whose work I really like. And I try to get people who don't do a lot of podcasts, but even the people who do, when I have them on, they end up talking about stuff they really never talk about on other things. So it ends up being, you know, really interesting insight because my, not to get too cultural studies on it, but the thing that I love about television sort of in the 20th century is that no matter who you are now and where your like political leanings are, what kind of person you are, if you go back far enough, we all watch the same stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so you have that common language with all of these people, which is the best thing about popular culture, whether it's comic books or whatever, where you can all share that language and you've all experienced that, even if you don't know the person.
Mm-hmm. Right. No, and that's fantastic. And I think that it's great to explore mediums in that way and just, you know, especially with the podcast medium, able to expound upon, you know, people's personalities and, you know, learn about people that way through what they enjoy it. So I think that's awesome. You will not learn anything here though.
No.
You may.
Usually you do. Usually we, you know, usually things come up.
I don't know about that.
because we got two books today, and these are actually two books that I've presented to Ken, or a few books. I give you a few options.
Yeah.
And you picked these two.
Right.
So I hooked you up. And the first one we're going to do is Dr. Fate, number 12, from December 1989. This is from the ongoing series in the 80s. Now, we got to talk about how this is. Okay, so if you're not familiar with Dr. Fate, I mean, most people, if you listen to the show, you know who Dr. Fate is.
You should. Mm-hmm.
However, you may not know at one point, because a lot of times it still kind of blows people's minds when they see Dr. Fate as a lady.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lady Dr. Fate.
Lady Dr. Fate, because this was the Eric and Linda Strauss era.
Right.
Where, and I don't know exactly, I've read the books, but I don't necessarily understand why it had to be, they had to be two of them.
Well, so
I think maybe you might be able to explain that.
So what had happened was, who's it? Hector Hall was the Fate before?
No,
them?
Ken Nelson.
This was Ken Nelson,
yeah,
correct.
So, Ken.
So he had also merged with his wife's spirit in the Helmet of Fate at one point.
Yeah, Meninza.
So after he had passed along the helmet, one of that couple was dying of something, I believe. And so the helmet was able to use their body and split them. But for a while, they couldn't be... It would be one or the other. So you wouldn't see both of them at the same time. It was like a firestorm kind of thing almost. Okay. And this issue, they've split into two beings at the same time, which was highly unusual.
Yes.
It's highly unusual and it's highly creepy.
Yeah.
Oh, this is one of the books that I get to the point where I'm like, you in comic books, I think you've lost me
for
a second, because it gets really creepy for me, like, really quickly.
Right. Well, because so here's the thing. So basically, so Eric was a boy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Who was aged into adulthood.
Yeah. By Kent Nelson.
By Kent Nelson.
Yeah, when
Kent
he
Nelson,
was Dr. Fate. Yeah. Yeah. Aged him, like, super quickly into a full-grown man.
So he could steal his body.
Yeah. And then now you have full-grown man boy running around who's also in love with his stepmother, who is Lady Dr. Fate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she's
and she is totally and she is totally in love with him too. So she's like the Mary Kay Letourneau of the DC universe.
There was a lot of that weirdly like quick aging people to adult form, like Thundercats, that happened. Lion-O was a child and they aged him rapidly so he could lead the Thundercats.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
There was a few things like that, which I guess makes sense because that's a fantasy of children. If they could be like, oh, someone could make me a powerful adult in
just
a minute.
I was just reading something recently where it just it happened like that. Like I think Franklin Richards experienced that a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Look, Cable, that having a Cable, like, you know, he's like he's popped out of Jean Grey, and they're like, all right, take him to the future. Now he's big. Now he's now he's like, he's on all the steroids, and he's got a metal arm. So here he is.
Ileana Rasputin, when she was magic, they explained it where they took her to that alternate dimension where time worked differently.
Oh, didn't they do that? There was one Green Lantern who was like a girl Green Lantern.
Oh, Aresia.
Yeah. And she was like 13, but then she aged herself to be adult so her and Hal could have sex. That was weird.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
DC did a lot more of that where they would go through a bunch of hoops so that they could have sex. Like, I specifically remember. The Swamp Thing incident where they had Swamp Thing possess the body of John Constantine so that he could have sex with Abby Arcane.
I'll have to find that one.
Yeah.
That belongs on this show.
Yeah.
That sounds like an Alan Moore thing.
It was Alan Moore. Yeah. No, you know what? I think it was Rick Veitch after Alan Moore left. Because there was another one where, so they did it and it wasn't very satisfying. So then Swamp Thing grew a fruit, a hallucinogenic fruit on his own body, and she ate it. And
just
then
like
they
in
had
the movie.
Yeah, they had this psychedelic kind of more intimate thing than the physical love.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. I remember that. That was in the Return of Swamp Thing. That's how him and Heaven Locklear got together.
Jim Wynorski.
Did he film that?
He directed it.
He directed that. Yes, yes. R.I.P. R.I.P. Dick Durdock.
Dick Durdock. Yep.
Dick Durdock. Yes. That was a fantastic movie. Also, R.I.P. What's his name? Louis Jordan.
Yeah, Louis Jordan.
Louis Jordan. Yeah. Mr. Arcane himself. Yeah, man, that's a good film. Wes Craven did the first one.
He did, and it's not as good as the Return of Swamp Thing.
No, it's not, because the other second one was more like just balls to the wall crazy.
Yeah.
And it was like, you're just almost like, I'm like, okay, you know, because they're trying to franchise and try. They made the TV show based out of that.
And the cartoon.
And the cartoon. Mm-hmm. And it had the video games. It had the toys.
Like the slippers. Kind
of, the slip.
Slippers?
Oh, there were Swamp Thing slippers. I had them.
Man.
Was it, so were they kind of like mossy, or were they just kind of like printed on?
They were the kind of slippers that had like the tight tube sock type ankle grip.
And then
they had a hard plastic Swamp Thing head on the toe.
That's amazing.
But the thing was just kind of fuzzy green.
Huh.
That's pretty great.
How come they don't make those anymore?
They should.
You can Google Swamp Thing slippers.
I mean, I believe you. I just wish they would make more.
No, but I mean, someone might be selling some now. There might be some Etsy.
But will they fit my man feet?
Well, you might have to do some binding, but it might be worth it.
So let's jump into the book real quick.
I've crippled myself to wear these slippers.
Yeah.
So, what you call it? Real quick, before we get to this book, there's a checklist in the beginning.
Yeah, the DC checklist.
DC checklist. I didn't scan this one to you, this page to you, but it tells you about what's coming up in the month.
Mm-hmm.
So one of my favorite ones here is about, where is it? This is a good one. You'll like this. So Justice League Europe number 9.
Oh boy.
Power Girl undergoes a critical operation with surgical help from Superman.
Oh God.
Meanwhile, Elongated Man and Flash finally have it out. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Jen, as the resident,
I have all the Superman issues.
Yes.
Yes.
So, what do you think? How do you think this probably went?
Oh, I can only imagine. I'm certain it was ridiculous. I'm certain Superman was given some sort of magical surgical power and explained away that he's like super smart and could be a surgeon.
Like he always is.
Well, he would have had to use his laser vision because it's the only thing that could do the surgery.
Exactly. So that probably went very well. And then the Flash and Elongated Man probably didn't happen until the last page of the book.
It literally, probably
that's going to be my guess.
Yeah.
That was probably actually literally was just them being like, It's like, screw you, Ralph. Screw you, Wally.
Yeah, it's just them yelling at each other. Like, it's a lot of Superman performing surgery and then, like, intercut with, like, Flash and Elongated Man yelling at each other until the very last panel where you see them, like, running at each other, and then that's it.
Well, I imagine that the Flash probably ran around so that Elongated Man had tied himself in a knot, like, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that would happen.
Oh, Elongated Man.
That's my guess.
I drank a soda, now I'm special. Yeah, that's Elongated Man. Okay, so let's get into this book. So it's called The Death of Innocence, Part 3, And I Will Fall. And so right off the bat, we have Eric Strauss, the man fate. He is being, so on the cover, real quick. So on the cover, it's Lady Fate and Man Fate, and they are blasting Darkseid.
Yes, and he looks like a gorilla.
It's a weird drawing of Darkseid. He looks more like the Anti-Monitor from Crisis than Darkseid. Yeah. It's a eye-catching cover, though.
Yeah, it is. I honestly thought at the moment, for when I first looked at it this morning, I was like, is that Grodd? Like, because it kind of looks like a monkey face.
Yeah, because he's got like a giant mouth. He's like, his neck.
Yeah, it's
like,
very cheeky.
It's very weird. Yeah.
But I should mention, too, that this was when DC did the new format books, which were like a classier. DC really embraced the sort of collector's market because that really didn't exist yet at that time.
Right.
But the more adult and the teenagers, whereas Marvel was still kind of aiming towards newsstands and kids. And so these books really stood out in the newsstand as being a lot slicker and nicer paper. And they had painted covers and, you know,
DC really kind of like, cause they have like this in this book here, or in this list here, they have like, it tells you what kind of version it is.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit like prestige format, standard format, new format, adult, you know, mature readers, you know, stuff like that. So it's like, they really kind of did that. And then Marvel was like, well, we got Epic.
Yeah.
You know, we've got a few other things, you know, you'll buy it anyways.
Remember when they had Clive Barker had his own imprint on Marvel?
Razorline?
Yeah,
something. No, I haven't gotten into that as much. I know I've been kind of digging into the UK stuff.
Yeah,
the Death's Head. Death's Head.
Oh,
yeah.
Death's Head.
Yeah,
my wife grew up with Kieran Gillian.
Okay,
Gillian. That was Reading Iron Man and stuff. Now, in their small town in England.
Oh wow,
and he's like a big shot in Marvel now. And it was very weird because she reconnected with him and she was like, oh, my husband's a big comic guy. And he's like, oh, he's going to love the next whatever. I bring Death's Head back. And I'm like, of course he does. Because that's exactly what a nerd from England would do if given the power to do so.
I would. Yes. Yeah, I embrace that too. I need to look that up. Jen bought me a Death's Head action figure.
I did.
Nice.
Yeah.
Because
for Christmas.
It's like, just original Death's Head. They don't make Death's Head 2.
Yeah.
But I do enjoy all of Death's Head, so which we did do an episode of that too.
I found him adorable.
Yeah,
he's like a little cow.
I shouldn't find Death's Head adorable. I was like, oh, he's so cute. Look at him with the little fangies, and he was just so cute.
This is probably common knowledge, but you know what comic he first appeared in?
Transformers.
Yeah, which is such a weird thing. Yeah,
there was like a copyright thing too that they had to like debut him in a certain one because if he debuted it, if they didn't get the copyright the right way, he would have been property of Hasbro,
right?
Which would have been weird, but anyways, so now here we're on the cover. Lady Fate is blasting at Darkseid, and in the background, Man Fate is being besieged by every parademon ever.
Yes, and as this is happening, he's just thinking. There's a lot of
the next boxes
where he's just thinking about how wonderful she is, and how great she is, and how much he loves her.
Oh, he is.
Yeah, no, he
head
is like
over heels for her
because he's mentally like 11.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yep. He is
that is
a boy.
Why. He is a boy, which is really gross. But yeah, I also love that she's wearing like a giant yellow diaper. It seems.
Well, she's wearing the Dr. Fate diaper, but it's like for her, it's like really.
It's like if you gilded the top of mom jeans.
Yeah, it's exactly what it is. This is the high-waisted mom jeans. Yeah.
Mom jeans by Naboo.
Yeah.
out on Fashion Week this week. But
it's weird, too, that they've... So Darkseid has always been a science character to me. And this is a very magic issue.
Yes.
And it's odd that they've used
Darkseid.
But the
new gods are very rooted in like mythology and stuff like that.
They sort
of
are, but it's more like how all magic is actually science you don't understand. It was kind of the conceit of the new gods in my mind. So it was very odd to see an actual mystical character go up against Darkseid, who they're using as like a Satan replacement.
Right, right. So So here, so there's a great panel where he's thinking about Linda, mm-hmm. and he's like, I can feel it, Linda. Mm-hmm. I feel it. Your love for me, hotter than my fever, burning inside of you. Like he's quoting like Foghat lyrics,
yeah,
or something. You know,
like, I feel it, Linda.
Like he's like, man, you know, like, you know, if I, whoever, like J.M. DeMatteis, who wrote this book, yeah. is like, you know, he's just like, you know what, I need some dialogue here. Oh, look, this B.O.C. album, as yeah. Boys Are Cult, will do just fine.
I saw it stenciled on a van.
Yeah, those. The Frank Frazetta painting,
yeah,
you know, the death dealer. He's like, oh, you know what, that was great. You know, I saw these guys at concert. I was let's lift this. You know,
but. I only write dialogue that would look great airbrushed.
it only looks good in a van in Venice.
Yeah,
you know, this looks good on somebody's denim jacket.
Yep,
let's do it.
So you know, so we get a whole bunch of that. He's basically narrating her.
Oh yes,
yeah. Fighting Dark Side.
While a lot of action's going on.
Yes, yeah, there's actually. A lot of like you know very active panels, and she's zapping Dark Side and falling and jumping, and there a lot of stuff's going on, but he's just like, I love you because I am 11 and it is so fucking creepy.
I love you because I am 11.
Well, you know, I looked at it more it like, you know, out. When you had a crush on your teenage babysitter.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's just the fact that she loves him back, I think, is really creepy for me.
That's the creepy thing, but, you know, yeah. there's a lot of those situations where these elementary school teachers.
And Mary Kay Letourneau.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. So, and actually I have a question that maybe you guys notice this too. Mm. So Dr. Fate's helmet.
Yep.
It's a helmet.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It makes facial expressions.
They Spider-Man it.
Yeah. Why is it all movie and stuff? That doesn't.
Yeah.
That, movie.
Movie. Yes.
Yeah.
I believe that is the correct terminology for when someone makes an expression.
Yeah. They project movies on the front of the helmet.
They do.
That came in the key.
Okay, it's yeah. a drive-in.
Tarantino's going to put the road show on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Road show
that on. Came in the Keith Giffen miniseries.
He yeah.
started making
yeah,
that it a little started more with... expressive. He basically drew Fate's helmet like it was Ambush Bug's face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he started being able to sort of have a brow. Although for that character, you go, well, he's magic.
Yeah. Yeah. It's okay. Yeah, but it's
a little weird.
Frustrating because it's like here, he's like, he's got like his big eyebrows and stuff. It's yeah. like, does that mean like his face is really lumpy? Like Dr. Fate's face is all lumpy and yes. stuff.
See, as that's a kid, I always interpreted it as the face, the mask kind of turned into a bit of like a liquid metal and
yeah.
kind of yeah. merged with their face.
We could see that.
That's what we're pulling off here. So basically, as this is happening, Eric is being devoured by the parademons.
Yeah, he's not having a good day.
No. This two-page spread really looks like several Dio album covers.
Yeah.
Like, it just you could take any panel from that page and just throw it on a Dio album
yeah,
cover.
Yeah, just make it a little actually, bit this darker. Right here,
literally, yeah. you could just put that on and just put, like, The Last in Line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would know. Be perfect.
Yeah.
European Holy version. Diva.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Dio, R.I.P. Dio, you know, yep. he would be very mm-hmm. proud of this. He probably maybe had a hand in this. I don't know.
But, yeah, I think he was into the Hand of Fate.
Yeah, he was in there. He was probably like, Dr. Fate.
Yep.
Yeah. Kent Nelson and his submerged boy and girl together. Whatever.
I have no idea what's happening.
I'm just saying.
There's a lot of stuff about gender issues
yeah,
in heavy metal.
Yeah, it's fine. I'm giving you a hard time.
So as he's getting eaten...
By the parademons.
Yes. Like they're just like literally biting. I don't know if they're biting his metal mask or something.
Well, yeah, there's like blood on his face and there's like claws on his mask face and there's like yeah. claws and it's just. Yeah, it's
so
intense.
So as he reaches
he's out. He's getting his ass kicked.
Oh, he's getting
yeah.
sunned
yeah.
Yeah.
hardcore. And just at the last moment, you know, he's like, I can't do it. And Linda's like, do it. And
yeah, because then she notices. She's like, yeah. oh, shit, like I should probably save you. Yeah,
they Wonder Twins it.
Yeah,
yeah they absolutely do.
Totally Wonder Twinning it here. And thankfully, he is able to reach out and they explode all of the... parademons everywhere.
Yes.
Right. Because they're united. And I'm assuming he gets healed because Dr. Fate is like a witch, you know.
His healing ability.
His healing ability. So he's probably like, mystic. I'm better.
Yeah.
You know, and they're trying
he's
to.
He's a lord of order.
Yeah. He should be okay.
Yeah. He's a mystic character.
Yeah. Yeah. He should be getting chomped or anything like that.
How has there not been a heavy metal either band or album called Lords of Order?
I don't know. That's probably got to be done. There's probably like a bunch of guys in like Bulgaria doing that.
Probably.
Yeah, it's probably doing that. They're, you know,
it's just a Norwegian heavy metal band.
They're about to get signed to by SPV Steamhammer or yeah. something. Or, the Metal Braid's going to find them on some tour with Vader.
There probably has been for years. You just can't read their logo.
No.
Oh, yeah. 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 Finally somebody reads it and goes, oh, that's what
it is. Oh, yeah. I get it. Yeah.
So they blast off the people. The
parademons. Who are basically Darkseid's flying monkeys.
Yeah, they're basically, he's like the witch and they're the monkeys. Yep. And they have like a little heart-to-heart nuzzle here. Like, only love can keep us together, you know, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then we come back to New York, where apparently Kent Nelson is watching this on TV.
Go ahead.
And they've really made gone out of their way to make Kent Nelson look like John Constantine here.
Yeah. Yes, oh, yeah. Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah. He is Constantine.
And he is just, I'm assuming, like, six bottles of whiskey in, and he's he looks like Constantine. He's drinking as hard as Constantine.
With Reed Richards' temple white. That's the only difference.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's even wearing a trench coat, I believe.
They have him dressed identical to Constantine.
Yes. He's sitting in his apartment in a trench coat.
Yeah, in a tie.
In a tie.
Drinking. With a demon.
Yes.
That's why he goes to bed. You just hop to the bed, puts on a little sleeping cap.
Yeah.
Puts on a trench coat.
Or probably puts on like one of those old-timey hats. Like a fedora.
I apologize for this name-droppy story, but it's relevant here.
Do it.
I had the band The Damned on my podcast. They're one of my all-time favorite bands.
Awesome.
And Dave Vanian is a very well-dressed man and performs on stage in a full suit, top coat, you know, leather gloves. And so before I was recording with them, it was after one of their shows, and he gets off stage and, you know, he's soaked, towels off, goes into the bathroom, comes out, changes into a different suit. Just a hanging out suit.
That's amazing.
He only wears suits. So he would be in a trench coat and a tie.
The whole thing with
Yeah. Just like his like casual suit.
That's amazing.
Yeah. No, that's
probably the best story I've ever heard.
Yeah. That's commitment. And that's why
it is.
That's why, like, when bands or somebody does that, and like, you're like, oh man, how do they get so good? It's like, 'cause they do shit like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're committed.
Yeah.
They're committed and they'll do it. And it doesn't matter because they know they are good. And that's why they're the best. And it's just you can't knock that hustle.
Did you ever hear the band Guitar Wolf?
I've heard of them.
They're this incredible band who call themselves Kung Fu Ramones. They're from Japan and they're just like this brutal, great, like, rock band. But they every show wear the same clothes and they never wash them.
Oh God.
And after they get off stage, they take their stage outfits off and they lock it in this glass case that they travel with.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's really weird.
A lot of bands do that, actually. They have like a thing for clothes.
You can smell them from the back row.
Yeah. So anyway, so we're now in Dr. Fate's Kent's apartment.
Former Dr. Fate.
Kent. He's in the apartment, and in walks the zany cast of characters that have been integrated into this book. Why, I don't know. But they have like their skinny lawyer.
Their comic relief.
Comic relief. They have Jack C. Small, the lawyer.
Yep.
And then there's also Petey the demon.
Yeah.
He's like Elf.
Yeah.
He's like Elf, you know, and he shows up and he's like,
just give him a cat.
Yeah, he's like, hey, Kent, because Kent, he sees Kent drinking. He's like, Kent, stop drinking. And he talks weird with his W's.
Yeah.
So for some reason, and then.
Because a demon would tell you to stop drinking.
Right? Don't you think he'd be like, oh, look what I have.
He's like, hey, I'm not in that bottle. Don't, you know, I was in a bottle once and Tony Stark drank me. So don't. It's just, so stop drinking.
Maybe
until
he's
I get in
just
there.
That drunk that a demon's like, dude. I know that angel was on one shoulder and I was on the other one, but you need to slow down.
I'm going over to the other side, all right?
Yeah.
We're going to talk to you.
This won't happen again if you keep drinking.
Yeah,
so,
I don't want you to die.
Yeah, I want to be around to continue to influence you to do evil. So stop drinking, will you?
So so Kent's like, he hits him and with a flap, which I kind of like.
Which is domestic violence, I think.
Oh,
probably, yeah.
I think the cops would have it be domestic violence.
Can you imagine the New York cops coming over and being like, oh, so what happened here? It's like, oh.
They slapped a demon.
The demon's like, I just fell down the stairs.
He walked into a door.
He's holding some meat over his eye. Yeah.
I don't want to press charges.
I love him.
But they're also amazed that Kent Nelson can watch whatever's going on Apocalypse through the TV.
Yeah, because
there's something about how, like, his crystal ball is now broken.
Yeah, Linda broke his crystal ball at some point.
Right, so he's, like, doing the best with what he can.
Yeah.
I pictured it like a Christmas Story scenario where she was cleaning it like the leg lamp and it just fell. And Kent all comes in and he's like, not a finger! But at first, before I picked up on that, I was like, in the DC world, is there just a 24-hour apocalypse channel? Because that would be fantastic.
That's amazing. And there should be.
Yeah.
Man, but you know, Desaad's probably got like a sweet like
cooking show.
Cooking show.
Orion's the Chopped. Yeah. DC Universe.
You know, Orion's got like some sort of wrestling league or something. Big Barda. Yeah.
Mr. Miracle would have like a life hack style show.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And then you got High Father, which last week we read Mr. Miracle,
right?
From the 90s series, and it was the one where Big Barda joins the Wrestling Federation,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And like Oberon and High Father in a crowd, and High Father is like, he goes from, he doesn't wear his High Father outfit, he just kind of wears things with like his little staff on it.
Like casual outfit.
Yeah, like embroidered staff on his polo.
Yeah, like
he's and got like a staff necklace.
Yeah, that's what he said. He was dressed like Don Johnson.
Yeah, he looked like he was in Miami Vice. It was great.
And actually that would be on there. That our reboot of Miami Vice featuring the new guys would be on the Apocalypse Channel.
Yeah.
Yes, and that would be amazing.
Kent Nelson is, you know, he's just watching this bullshit.
Yeah.
He's waiting it out. He's kind of waiting. Yeah. He's kind of like
waiting.
Is this like the Cynthia Rothrock movie on before all the good stuff?
Yeah.
He wants to watch Miami Gods.
Yeah.
Miami.
See, I was picturing a sitcom called Hi, Father. That was like, he's home and.
Oh, that's amazing. And he like walks in and then there's like a laugh track and like applause.
Orion borrowed the car.
Orion got angry again.
Yeah.
Granny goodness, she killed. She had her and her furies killed everybody.
Big Barda has to learn a lesson by the end of the half hour.
That's right.
Yeah.
Love it.
Big Barda gets two dates to the prom.
That's great.
Oh, man. They're watching this on TV, and we kind of get a recap of this Dr. Fate miniseries, which kind of led to all this fun mother-son squish.
Yes, and then this is where we find out that Eric, Man-Fate, is sick, and he's been sick for a while, and the reason that he's sick is because whatever mystical incantation was used to age him into an adult is making him sick and actually killing him.
It's burning him out.
Yep.
Ugh.
It's like the pituitary disease where you just keeps going until you die.
He's like a mystical Andre the Giant.
That's right. Exactly what's going on.
There's a great ad in there for Gotham by Gaslight as well, which was Mike Mignola. It was in Elseworlds before they did Elseworlds.
Yeah.
Where it's Batman versus Jack the Ripper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is a great one.
Mike Mignola has always been one of those kind of guys who it's like, I like him and then sometimes I don't.
Right.
You know, like he did some covers for Quasar.
Quasar.
And I could never say that right. Quasar. And I was like, I don't know if I like these, but then, just
it's very stylized, like Frank Miller, where you're like, I can't tell if this is stylized or like he didn't spend any time on it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, is this good?
Or lazy.
I don't know. It's one or the other. Was this a choice? I don't know.
So basically at this point, we go back to Apocalypse and Darkseid's like, look, I'm going to, we beat your demons, but there's no way out.
Right.
So I'm gonna.
He's like, because I'm motherfucking Apocalypse.
I'm Darkseid. I'm going to destroy.
That's literally what I do. I live on a planet called Apocalypse.
I'm looking for the anti-life equation.
Exactly, because I want to destroy everything. So you guys aren't getting out of here.
Yeah, but they try.
Well, they try, and I can't tell exactly where we are.
Well, we're here where like he's like, because they're like, we're getting out of here, and then there's. Like he's
more
like,
parademons.
Yes.
He's like literally every parademon in their family.
Yeah, because they're like, we got rid of it. And he's like, no, actually, there's more now.
He's like, I have an entire planet full of fucking parademons. Yeah.
This planet is called Apocalypse. There's danger at literally every square inch of this.
Sorry.
you are not.
Your victory is short-lived. Yeah. Congratulations.
This is what we call a pyrrhic victory.
Yes.
So they're just like. You know,
so then they start talking. They're like, oh, I can't do it. Oh, whatever.
What are we going to do?
Oh, but maybe if we bound together, but I can't. Oh, and it's just this back and forth between like they need to bound together.
Yeah.
And they can't. Whatever. And so finally they do. And then they zap the fuck out of Darkseid with what I assume is the power of love.
The power of love.
They get it.
So it's a Celine Dion song.
See, I was going Huey Lewis.
I was thinking Huey Lewis. Like, just imagine. Like,
no. Both at once. One of them is shooting out the Huey Lewis version. And one of them is shooting out Celine Dion at the same time.
And that is what brings down Darkseid.
Yeah.
Just some sort of like Dazzler move or something. Yeah. You know? Like she's got,
Get Thelma and Louise hands going.
Yeah. They do. This is Dr. Fate, by the way. This is what's really frustrating because this is Dr. Fate. You know, he's the Doctor Strange, or sound like the demon, Doctor Strange equivalent of the DC universe.
But a scarier Doctor Strange, because Nabu's not necessarily like, he's kind of amoral.
Oh, Nabu's a dick.
Yeah. So it's Nabu, like, you never know.
Nabu straight up killed Ken Nelson's dad just because he was like,
it makes things easier for me, dude.
Yeah. He's like, dude, I'll just make you into just make you into a man.
Yeah.
Just whatever.
It doesn't matter.
So what my dad says, okay, whatever.
Yeah. And now the power of love is defeating Darkseid.
Yeah, that's a little bit much for me.
And Darkseid is kind of like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, yeah, no, he's got literal stars around his
head. It would have been better.
It's like a Tweety Bird. It's just like going around his head.
It would have been better if that same reaction was a little kid just gave him a Valentine. Like, I figured that probably would have had the same effect, right?
He wouldn't like a friendship in Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
Like, he made him like a balloon animal, and he's like, aw.
It's like that commercial that they show every Christmas where that kid like puts his Christmas list into the hand of the Marines. It's like, oh, he is Santa. Like, it should have been like that.
Yeah. Instead of the friggin' love blast.
Yeah, the love blast was a bit much.
yeah, that's right. Yeah, because he's looking at here and he's like, love? Love? There's stars like spotting around.
I'm so confused.
And he's so like taken aback by it.
Yeah.
Because he's like, okay.
It like broke his brain.
It broke his brain.
He literally cannot process what is going on.
They ruined Darkseid with love. Yes. Actual love.
Yes.
He couldn't even muster up an Omega Beam after that.
It is unacceptable.
Because he keeps thinking about, it's like, because Strauss's hearts pump with romance.
Here's a quote I heard yesterday that may be relevant here. I was on Wilshire Boulevard and a homeless woman was standing next to me waiting across the street. And she said, everybody's talking so much about love and marriage. I haven't had any time to hide in the evil bush. And I think that in this case, Darkseid is the evil bush.
I believe that is correct.
Being defeated by love and marriage.
It is. Yeah. That is correct.
Yeah. So
that woman knew you were going to read this book.
She did.
Yeah.
So the monsters are kind of like, they're like, Darkseid's like, we're leaving.
Yeah, because Darkseid's like, I can't take it. I have to go shower all this love off me.
He's creeped out by them, I think.
He's
like,
he's gonna pull a crying game, and he's gonna be in the fucking tub just like scrubbing, being like, I don't want to feel good.
But he also realizes, because he's like, wait a minute, they're step mother.
Maybe
and
he
father.
Just got really fucking
step,
creeped
though,
out.
It's not blood.
Still weird, though.
Still weird.
Sure.
Because he's supposed to be a child.
What happened was he read the first couple pages of this book, and he was like, whoa.
He might have the TV channel.
Yeah, he does.
He has a TV channel of them. It's like a two-way TV.
He's like, this is the creepiest fucking show.
What is crazy.
What would his TV guide look like?
Apocalypse?
Apocalypse TV guide?
Yeah. It would just every night be a presidential State of the Union address preempting everything he wants to watch, which is why he's so mad. And at this point, it would be Reagan. So he's just like, come on. I can't watch Misfits of Science. I'm going to go not even kill everyone. Make them never have existed.
Yeah. Because hence the anti-life.
Yes.
As this is happening,
a rogue parademon.
He's not even a parademon. It's just like some.
No, he's a parademon.
No,
he's a parademon.
He's not.
Yeah, he's
not. No, the parademons are orange and red.
Well, but
not
no, the other ones that they came up with, some of them look like machines, and other ones were green. Yeah. The second wave of parademons.
Okay. You know what? Actually, speaking, we were talking about Inferno, the Marvel crossover, which is one of my favorite things of all time. And I was reading this, and I'm like, I think they've ripped off some of the Inferno thing, because the plot in that was the demons were infected by the transmute virus from Warlock's world. Yeah. And they draw these parademons very techno-demonic in that same way, which was happening around the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so they throw...
Like, a rogue one he throws a spear.
There's a spear.
Because as Lady Dr. Fate is trying to, like, you know, I don't know, zap them back to Earth or whatever. And the spear goes and... Eric jumps in front of it and he gets stabbed.
No, Eric doesn't jump. No, Eric.
It pierces him in the side. Did you pick up on the Christ overtones here?
They're like, a little subtle. Like, right there in the side.
I'm having a bit of a hard time discerning which one is which here, too.
Well, one has enormous boobs.
Yeah.
But they're kind of dread because, like, you know.
Enormous boobs in, like, the saran wrap type of shirt. Yeah.
It's a little bit hard here because, like, you know, they're kind of showing each other and I'm having trouble because they're all kind of fit.
Yeah.
They're all very fit. There's a lot of pecs in this book here.
Real true.
So as this is happening,
So he gets stabbed in the side and she's like, oh no. So of course she stops from zapping them to like talk to him while they're surrounded by parademons, by the way. Like, it's fine. They're going to wait.
Who are kind of retreating at the retweeting. They're retweeting all of this. They're retreating.
Just everybody's on their phone.
I just killed Dr. Fate. Yeah. LOL.
Holy shoot. He just stabbed him in the side while we were leaving.
Like, Darkseid's been taken by the down by the power of love. Poop emoji. Like, just sending it all out.
But they're kind of leaving, and he's all like, I'm going to die. And she's like, it's really not that bad, dude. Like, yeah, stop being okay, a baby.
Stop being the baby that you actually are. Yeah. You're a rage adult thing.
Because you're, 11.
I like that she's crying.
Through the mask,
because the eyes are giant,
yeah,
like big anime character eyes, and they're coming. There's just liquid coming out.
Yeah,
it's just really weird.
So I don't know. They get in like a. I'm assuming it's. Are they still on Apocalypse? Or are they in a bubble?
Yeah, they're still on Apocalypse.
I couldn't tell if we were on the TV or not.
Yeah.
So they're like weeping, and apparently he's dying or dead.
No, she's like, it's just a flesh wound, let me heal it for you, boom.
Yeah, but isn't he just, but doesn't it say something there where it's like, then there's silence, like it
because
ends.
They're watching it on the Apocalypse channel and it just seems like they're dead. She's dead.
Yeah, he's what's happening? The subtitles stopped working.
Where's my narration boxes? Yeah.
Is my SAP channel working?
Someone put SAP on? Is this in Spanish?
So Kent and the demon and...
I used to do this to my dad all the time, by the way. If I would go over his house, I would just enable the SAP. So all the channels were in Spanish and he'd get really angry. What the hell is this?
Because they wouldn't know how to turn it back.
Right. He didn't know that it was the TV. He thought all the stations were just... Because he's a little bit right-wingy. And so all these Hispanics are going to take over the world. So it's a good way for them to be like... What, now everything's in Spanish?
I shouldn't have to press that number.
Yeah.
So that's, and that's pretty much it. Dr. Fate number 12.
Yeah.
December 1989.
It's a cliffhanger.
And that's for this issue. Would you read the next issue of this book?
I have read the next issue of this book. I actually had a subscription to Dr. Fate at this time.
Awesome.
I never subscribed to comics. What's that like?
It was really exciting. So every week I would take the train or in the bus to the various comic stores in the Boston area. And I would pick up cheap back issues from a few weeks ago that I didn't have subscriptions for, but there was a few that I did pony up for the subscriptions, and I would always, they had a staggered release schedule. So you would get one a week over the month. And it was really exciting. I always loved getting mail.
It's good. Yeah. Especially when you're younger, you get mail. Yeah.
But they would really mangle the comics. I mean, they would just basically fold them. Put them in.
And then years later, I would buy them in that state.
Yeah. I mean, but what I used to do as a kid for money to like get TV Guide subscriptions is I used to go to flea markets and get the want ads, and I would buy whole collections, and then I would take what I wanted and then flip them to the local comic stores and then keep the profit for like another collection. So I had a little pocket money, and I was able to build this huge collection of back issues of like people who's like, my son went to college, get these out of here.
Yeah.
Nice. That's the way to do it.
That'd be the greatest thing if somebody says, take these comics. I'm like, yes, I'll take them.
Yeah.
Yes, please. Cool. Well, so that's it for, I would read the next issue. Jen, would you?
I wouldn't seek it out, but if someone were to hand it to me, I would read it.
Okay.
There you go.
So we'll see about that.
Dr. Fate, actually not a medical doctor.
No, he's not.
He's got a PhD.
Yeah.
He's one of those doctors that's not a doctor.
He's a doctor of education.
He's like Dr. Cornell West or something. Yeah.
An honorary doctorate.
From the University of Phoenix.
Yes.
Okay, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back with the next book. All right, we're back here on Worst Collection Ever here on Sideshow Network with myself, Jen, and our guest, Ken Reed.
Hello.
Yay.
How's it going so far?
It's going pretty good.
Good.
Yeah.
All right. Now, I'm just out of breath because I ran to get the
car.
The car and stuff because, the perils of parking in Hollywood. So.
See, I just parked in someone's driveway.
Yeah, I think that was for the best.
Yeah.
Your car will definitely be there when you go.
Well, I went in and I introduced myself and I had some tea, and then I said I was going to use the bathroom, and that was 2 hours ago.
Yeah.
They think you're still there.
I told them I had IBS.
Good call.
Yeah.
All right. So, we've already gone like an hour on Dr. Fate.
I know.
As one would. So maybe we'll just kind of work on this next book, because there's a lot of text in this book.
Yeah.
There is, especially for a Marvel Method book.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not really cool with that. Yeah. I'm like, stop
yeah,
letting me read.
There's a part in here where I was just like, I was giving it the side eye.
Yeah.
I'm like, if you can't write this in dialogue and narration boxes, do not put this in a comic book.
So our book is going to be Marvel Spotlight number 20, from
73. It's early
74, maybe?
Early 70s. Yeah,
yeah. It's a.
This is the height of Marvel's horror era,
yeah,
where the Comics Code had lifted the ban on words like Satan and the use of vampires and zombies.
Oh, and they use it. They get into the Satan. Yep. So Marvel, yeah. Marvel Spotlight number 20 from February 1974.
Yep.
It is the son of Satan.
Yep.
Death is in the cards.
Damien Hellstorm.
Damien motherfucking Hellstorm. Back in the 70s, back when he had his cape and his pentagram chest and his yellow and red outfit.
Only in the 70s could you design a superhero costume, and they're like, what kind of shirt is he going to have? And they're like, no shirt.
No.
Like, here's the beauty. No shirt.
No shirt.
Check us out. No shirt.
Just like a brand of a pentagram on his chest.
He's going to be like Burt Reynolds, you know, but like instead of like chest hair.
Chest hair.
No chest hair, but a pentagram.
Yeah.
Pentagram.
Yeah. Like a weird Care Bear.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, it's funny because Hellstorm, or Hellstorm. He went on when he, after the Defenders.
Yep.
But like before his ongoing, so somewhere in between like 87 and like 93, he had a costume.
Yeah.
A second costume where he actually like, because he was trying to like maybe I think disguise his identity more.
Hmm.
And he's already the son of Satan. I mean, Jesus Christ.
Right. You think being Frank Sinatra Jr. is tough?
So he used to have this thing where it was like the cowl, and he had like a shirt with like a pentagram on it.
Yeah.
It was all the same colors. It looked awful.
Yeah,
it looked awful. Him and Wonder Man had the shittiest costumes around that time, because this is like, 'cause I showed you my keychain earlier of Wonder Man, but it was from Wonder Man when he like first debuted, when he had like the green and the yellow.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and the weird lattice and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd like to see a comic about the costume designer, like how they got a new costume designer in the late 80s for superheroes.
Yeah.
Or it was like some guy who was like a fill-in, and his dad had done it for years, and his dad was sick, so he had to do it. And so he came up with all these terrible costumes for 3 years.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's kind of awesome. like he also worked for DC, so he did the Aquaman camo costume.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where it was just a bunch of waves. It's like, yeah, I was like, yeah, yellow and orange don't, or orange and green don't work anymore. We gotta make them look like a G.I. Joe.
Is it any worse than the current Aquaman costume? I don't know if you've seen it, where it's basically like a giant belt with an A, but when he wears it, it looks like an erect penis.
Yeah.
Oh. Well,
so, you know,
that's all right. It could be worse.
Well, here's the thing. It doesn't just look like it.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
So the issue is called The Fool's Path.
But it has nothing to do with Fool Killer.
No.
One of the greatest characters of the 70s.
It has nothing to do with the Fool Killer. He is not in this. It is about Damien Hellstorm, the son of Satan.
Yes.
He is Satan and then like another lady.
Yes.
And they fucked.
Right.
And then it popped out him.
Thank you for explaining how reproduction works.
How his son works.
Thank you.
but really is tied well to Dr. Fate, because they are both mystical characters who have a headquarters in Salem, Mass.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. I forget. Dr. Fate, based in Salem.
Yes, with his Tower of Fate.
Love Salem. I wish it was a real thing.
Yeah.
That'd be sweet. Because Salem's actually a really fucking great town.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Salem is the best.
Yeah.
But he was also based in the Northeast, too. He used to, I think he was like a teacher at a girls' school.
Yeah.
Well, he is here.
Yeah.
He's a professor.
Because he is like the hip professor. This is like that. Remember that movie we watched? The Night School movie?
No. Night School in Boston?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that movie is a piece of shit.
Oh, yeah.
So this is Damien Hellstorm. So it was based on him.
You know what sucked about that movie is I really expected more horror and gore. Like, that's how it was sold.
But it's about headhunters in Nairobi.
Yeah. And like, there's like, you know, betrayal and
too much motorcycles.
No. And it just, it's weird.
That's right. There's a motorcycle killer and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a weird episode of Falcon Crest.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was Falcon Crest ever that dark? I don't know. I never watched it.
And you can also tell the way that where the school is, where it's like you come into like a brownstone in Boston. I swear to God, it was based on Emerson.
It very
which
well
used
be.
To be down in like a brownstone, like on Beacon Street, I think, before they moved.
Yeah, yeah. There wasn't a scene where Dennis Leary was doing poems.
That's right.
You know, or Eddie Brill was running an open mic.
And then Aerosmith was practicing in one of the brownstones next door. Yeah.
The most Boston movie ever before it became.
Before The Town.
Before The Town. Which, let's ask Ken.
Oh,
you've seen The Town.
Of course I have.
Okay, so I'll let you take this.
So I have a question for you.
Yes.
You've seen The Town. You have been to the North End.
Yes.
Do you feel that the scene where they have that high-speed chase through the North End of Boston is realistic?
Could that actually happen?
Yeah.
Yes. I have seen drunken assholes speed through
right,
those streets.
Enough.
I've been in cars with drunken assholes who have sped through those streets at high speed.
All right.
Wow.
Hmm.
Yeah. I
felt that there were, especially for the time of day, because it was like 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And there should be delivery trucks, people going to work, and tourists. I felt it was a little unrealistic because the North End is narrow as shit.
Yeah. But I know people that grew up in Charlestown and they would just speed all around in there like it was nothing.
Mm.
And so I have seen people. One of my favorite Charlestown scumbag stories is this friend of mine. He was in a band with some friends of mine and he was always like, "Oh, dude, the fucking feds are always fucking watching my house. The fucking feds, because I'm a fucking bad ass." Like, he's just some fat idiot and the feds were not watching his house. So we were driving him home one morning and this car was kind of slowly going down the street. He goes, "Yeah, they are, guys, it's the fucking feds because they're watching my house." And you see the window roll down and the guy just threw a newspaper out the window and another kid in the car goes, "That's the fucking paper boy." And it was. It was just like, that's why he was driving slow around in the mornings delivering papers.
Oh, that's the best story.
Yeah. I wish that would have happened in The Town. That would have been good. Like, you know, Jeremy Renner just throwing a paper out of the window.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so speaking of scumbags, Damien Hellstrom.
Yeah.
So he's.
Wonderful hair, by the way.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was
he goes to the same barber as Quicksilver.
Yes.
He does. So he is... Yeah, actually, do you want to run this one?
Sure, I'll run this
one. This is easier, because I didn't get a chance to read this one again.
Okay, so what's going on is we're at this girl school, and this one woman, whose name is... I don't know. Oh, Christine.
Yeah.
Christine gets an invitation or a thing in the mail, and it's basically the death card. It's tarot card.
Yes, yes.
And she immediately freaks the fuck out and runs.
As you would.
You just got the death card. She runs to Hellstorm's office, and she's like, "Oh, my God, we just talked about this in class. What do you think?" And he's like, "Well, you know, on the back," which she neglected to read, is just an invitation for you to go to, what's her name? Madame Schwabba's?
Yeah, free Madame Schwabba's.
Madame Schwarma?
Yes, Madame Schwarma.
She's shaving meat.
Yes.
Left and right.
It's just a pile of it.
Yeah.
Just come see this pile of meat.
That's why it's the death card. It's a cow's death.
we're slaughtering a lamb.
Yeah.
Put some tzatziki sauce on it. It's a weird way of me inviting you to have some shawarma.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's just weird.
But to put it in context in a weird way, there was like a really weird obsession with Satanism and stuff at this time. And Anton LaVey was like a mainstream character.
Yep.
And, you know, like In Search Of's airing. And, you know, it was just kind of normal for like 3 years.
Yeah, this was like a thing back then. They were just like, "Oh, yeah, whatever." So... they're like, "Oh, okay, well, we're going to go to this place, and I'll be your guest."
Yeah.
Me, son of Satan.
He's a ringer. He knows this shit.
So he's going to... And I love that it only says, like, you and one guest, but for some reason, they also bring along this chick, whose a name I can't remember. Oh, Dr. Catherine Reynolds.
Right.
So they
is a doctor.
Oh, she's a real doctor.
Yeah, she actually went to school. Fuck you, Dr. Fate.
That's right.
She doesn't pick up a fucking helmet.
Yeah.
If it was that easy, just become a doctor. He's like, "I'm a helmet. I'm a doctor now."
Yeah. All doctors wear helmets.
Dr. Huxtable shows up with a helmet. Or Dr.
Oh, Quincy. That's sad.
That was the first one that came to my mind.
Oh, my God.
I used the character, by the way. The character did not do anything.
We don't know that.
Oh, yeah, well, we don't know. Yeah. We don't know what his practice was.
Actually, yeah, what was his practice?
He was at OB.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
So anyway, so they Son of Satan's like, "All right, well, I'm gonna go." Of course, he's also drawn with these insane eyebrows because they like they're those kind of like the Anton LaVey eyebrows. They're like
real widow's piece.
Yeah, huge. Yeah, yeah. So they go to wherever this place is, Madame Schwarba, who has this creepy fucking place.
And she's a full-on gypsy, like my son's a werewolf style gypsy.
Yeah, you know, I mean this She is the oldest woman.
Is this a comic adaptation of what the fuck?
My best friend's a vampire?
No, what the fuck was that?
My stepmother's a werewolf?
No. The movie with the Scott Valentine.
Oh, My Demon Lover.
My Demon Lover.
With the Pazotskis.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is this a comic adaptation?
It's very. I would read that comic every single week. I love that.
Did you know they made a comic adaptation of Fort Fairlane?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
One issue.
Do you own it?
Yes. It's great.
Yeah.
They also did a Sledgehammer comic.
Did they?
Really? Yeah.
Did you know that the guy who wrote the Ford Fairlane comic for DC went on to write the Wonder Man ongoing for Marvel?
I didn't when he was in Hollywood and doing the stuntman.
That makes sense. It makes total sense. Yeah. And I love that book. So.
Yeah. And we have done Ford Fairlane on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. You should have.
So they show up and this woman, like, she's fucking ancient. How she is even standing is unknown. She's like, come on in, everybody. Come to my table. I'm going to give you a tarot card reading. Because she really wants to talk to Christine. She's like, I need to talk to you.
Yeah, it's important.
Information
if I were Damien,
for you.
I would be like, where the fuck is the meat?
Yeah.
I was promised
There is no pile of shawarma.
He already has the trident. Just to put it on.
Yeah. Just stick it on here. Just put it on here. Some chicken hearts. It.
Yeah.
This is false advertising because there is no pile of meat here.
No.
There's just an old woman and like a crow hanging from the ceiling.
If you think about it, aren't we all just piles of meat, Jen?
So maybe there's four piles here. So she's like, well, we're going to do this and I'm going to give this girl a tarot reading. And of course, Damien is like, no, give me a tarot reading.
Yeah.
It's much more important. So she's like, all right. So he shuffles the cards, whatever. There's a lot of ads in this book, too.
Of course. It's Marvel in the 70s.
Yeah, it's Marvel because there's not a lot of story.
Yeah.
So this is good.
Although now we get narrative.
See, this is the page. Okay. The fact that there's so many ads and then you do this shit, like, this makes me angry. So, like, what happens is she starts giving him a tarot card reading and it's a black splash page with, like, a little drawing up at the top of, like, her passing out tarot cards. And then it turns into a fucking newspaper with like two solid columns of text.
Do you know why they would have the text columns in though at that time?
No.
For the purposes of mailing, it was cheaper if you had a certain amount, if you had a text page, it classified it as a different thing than a comic. It was like a magazine or something.
Like a periodical.
Yeah. So they would have to have a text page and up until the 70s. And a lot of those Marvel comics would still have like, here's just a one page story for no reason. That's all text. And it was to save money on the shipping.
Mm. Very interesting. So maybe that's why this is here because I do not like this.
No, but it does give you that amazing splash page on the next page.
On the next page is actually very sweet. And it's the tarot card layout with the evil gypsy face and Max Hedrum. And the Christine. And he's got like the best horn hair.
Yeah.
That I've ever seen.
His hair is horny. His hair is literally horny.
Literally horny.
It literally is. Yeah. Him and Quicksilver go to the same barber.
Yeah.
As you point out, Ken. And it is fantastic.
Yeah. So basically, she gives him his tarot card.
And she can't be that good of a gypsy if she doesn't notice he's the son of Satan.
Right?
No, she sucks.
She's terrible.
She just sticks to shawarma.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's awful. But basically, it's like, oh, you're going to do these things and you're going to go through pain and it's going to be suffering and blah, 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 blah. Right? Like,
you're going to eat a Taco Bell and you're going to get sick.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's just basically the gist of what's happening.
Boring.
Nobody cares. So this is my favorite part. So Hellstrom is like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
What the fuck? Like, you read my tarot cards. I am so mad at you for reading these tarot cards that I'm literally going to change into the son of Satan
Can you make sure? Is that the one?
Oh, it's amazing.
Does he do the John Cena fingers? Yes, he does.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
In that one in the top corner there, he is doing the hustle, loyalty, respect of John Cena.
He is.
He's totally.
Yeah, no, he is.
Because that's how he changes into Hellstorm.
He basically hulks out with that.
And the only reason that he's doing this is because he is mad that this woman read his tarot cards.
Which he asked her to do.
Right, and told him something he didn't want to hear. So instead of just being like, this old woman's full of shit, he loses his shit in the middle of the room.
But what a great the final panel there where his face is like red and green.
That one's great.
If I had a tattoo, I'd do that.
Yeah, that's really pretty. That's really, really sweet.
It's a Christmas tattoo.
I also have to wonder, like, obviously these two women who are with him know that he is the son of Satan? Because neither one of them seem fazed by the fact that he's just transformed.
A college professor who's, first of all, if my college professor just ripped his shirt off at a gypsy's tavern, even if he wasn't the son of Satan, he got so mad and just tore his own shirt off.
I'd just be like, do I get an A for this?
Yeah, I'd be weirded out. But if you tear your shirt off and you're the son of Satan, that's more than I can handle.
Oh, he's got the pentagram on his chest. And that's true. Like, that's a sweet tattoo.
Look at that.
He's a wild man.
He's got a cape just appeared out of fucking nowhere. That's right. So he has a foot, and he, like, zaps this old woman.
He sets her on fire. That's like he's like, I'm not going to pay for this. I'm going to set you ablaze.
How dare you?
$50 bullshit.
Yeah.
How dare you do what I asked you to do? I am setting you on fire. He sets her on fire.
He just sets people on fire. He's like, oh, there's your sir. Here's your Chipotle burrito. Burn.
What?
But she's fine. She's like, you don't scare me, bro. Like,
I'm a fireproof gypsy.
I'm made of Teflon.
Yeah.
She's like, do you know how many drunk fat boys come in here? Let me tell you. So she's fine. So,
it happens all the time. They just come in.
They're all coked out.
All right, let's ball talk.
And then they light me on fire.
This was just kind of like a I'm just kidding setting on fire.
Yeah. LOL. Yeah. So he just like keels over. And it's like, oh my God.
He's drained now.
Yeah, he really.
I didn't notice. Do any of those ads, is that any of the, since it's the 70s? Mm. So one episode we were reading a Marvel, Namor. The last issue, actually the last issue of the 60s, 70s Namor.
Yep.
And there was an ad in there for like a Nazi paraphernalia shop.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No,
yeah,
I don't
there's a lot of that.
See it
Adolf's.
Here.
And actually, that was the same issue of Namor that started with a Hitler quote.
It did.
Mm-hmm. There was a lot of that at that time.
Yeah. I don't see it in this one, but
yeah, it's not in that one.
There is one for if you want a He-Man body.
Yeah, there is. Yeah. Also, if you want a He-Man body or if you want to build a giant 7-foot tall monster
Frankenstein,
robot.
Frankenstein,
yeah. So also, I think there's a lot of, they ask for a lot of poems too. Yeah, I always noticed there's a lot of poems.
Published poem. Yeah.
It's like, hey, you got a poem? It's like, yeah, I wrote a poem.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's that. So instead of calling an ambulance, they just like go outside. Because she says, call an ambulance. He's like, no.
She's fine.
That's going to cost me a quarter. I didn't pay for the reading here. You think I'm going to call waste a dime on you?
Yeah. He doesn't have health insurance.
Oh, yeah. No. You think hell has health insurance? No. So they go outside.
Hell doesn't have health insurance.
And so they go outside, instead of getting to give Christine the reading, they leave.
Yeah.
And that pisses this woman off.
It's the whole reason they went there.
The whole reason was to get this other girl a reading. And she's like, but I didn't get to tell Christine all this important shit I needed to tell her. Like, you could have just told her.
Yeah.
But
Call her on the phone.
Right? Send her another fucking letter.
They had phones in 1974.
Yeah, that was a thing. And so she's
send her a letter with another coupon for shawarma. Yeah.
Right.
Teletext.
Yeah. And so she's like, that's it. I'm so mad that you guys left. I am cursing you, Hellstorm.
Pazotsky.
Yep.
You are going to pay. And so as they're like standing, and he's still in his Son of Satan costume, so he's like shirtless on the street.
Yeah, he's going to Studio 54. I'll suit it up.
It is happening. So as he's just like standing here, he's like, oh, my head hurts, whatever. And all of a sudden, like a wolf or two wolves come around the corner, and they're just like, you know, all frothing at the mouth, and they're like, you know, freaking out, and they jump on Hellstorm, and they start biting the shit out of it.
It's that classic cursed by wolves.
Yes. Yeah. It happens all the time. So
this is where I ripped the book.
Yeah.
When I was trying to do this.
You got so excited.
He was like, oh, this is the
holy shit, wolves! in New York City!
So he's trying to get away from these wolves, and he gets his trident, and he stabs the wolf.
It's really gruesome.
Really gross.
He basically barbecues that wolf could eat it.
Because he lights it on fire. Yeah. So there's their shawarma. But unfortunately, I think he overgrilled.
He overdid it.
He overdid it because now they can't have it.
He is not. I would not depend on him on the 4th of July. He'd be like,
no.
Yeah, no.
He would just ruin the brisket.
Who's manning the grill? Son of Satan.
Ah, shit. Not again.
It's like it'll be all charred and stuff.
Oh, man.
He always overcooks
it. I always ask for medium rare and I just get
you get a hockey puck, basically.
How do you want your burger? Sinful?
So the doctor lady is like, oh, my God. This is exactly what the gypsy woman said, because she talked about you're underneath a moon and it has wolves on the card or whatever.
Maybe it would have just been one of those sweatshirts.
It was the three moon sweatshirt.
Yeah.
I wish he was actually wearing that. That would have been the best.
What if that was his outfit? It was just the wolf shirt with the cape and try that. And it's
like just, so she was basically telling him to put a fucking shirt on.
Yeah, that's exactly what
specific
she was
shirt.
Yeah, please order the wolf shirt.
It's got some great reviews on Amazon. You need to be,
make sure it matches your van.
Yeah, it's athletic fit. You'd be great with it.
So he's like, oh, fuck that gypsy woman. She didn't give me shawarma. I didn't pay her, but I'm going to go back and yell at her after I burned her.
Yeah.
And so he goes and the door has now been boarded up, but that doesn't seem to bother him. He just puts his foot through it. And then he's like, there's nothing here. Everything is gone. It's just like an empty room with like boxes.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh no, that's terrible. All right, well, let's leave.
You guys got to understand, New York in the 70s was a lot different.
Yeah.
Well, this is Boston, right?
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah.
Actually. Yeah.
So they like get in the car.
This is like a D story in The Departed.
Yeah.
This is in the combat zone.
Yeah.
This is over on Tremont Street.
Yeah. So they get in the car and they're like, well, that's not really going to happen again. I mean, that was just like a weird wolf one-off, right? Yeah. I mean, like that happens. Like wolves just show up in the city.
Wolf one-off is my new new indie band.
Oh, I was going to say, what are you? Why don't you go Wolf One-Off? How long are you going to be in the bathroom? What are you, wolfing one off in there?
So as they're driving...
This is my favorite part.
What are you, the son of Satan? wolf one off
in there? What are you, got a pen? You got your shirt off? My favorite, absolute favorite part of the comic is this, because of the fantastic company that they encounter.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Driving down the street. And the sign, there's a sign on the building that says Red Devil Sausage Factory.
Yeah.
And it has like a devil drawn on the sign and it falls onto their car. So like just the devil shows up on the windshield and then he becomes like an actual like demon.
Yeah. I always, not to get too sexual here, but.
It's okay.
I feel like the Red Devil Sausage Factory is something Damien Hellstrom has invited many women to visit.
I would absolutely
That's what comes up when he invites women, you know, when he sends those cards out to people. You know, she does the gypsy does the schwarby, he's like, Red Devil Sausage Factory.
How'd you like to visit the Red Devil Sausage Factory?
That's the best place.
That would have made a great Marvel graphic novel. Literally, very graphic novel.
Yeah.
In the 70s, like Hellstorm, Red Devil Sausage Factory.
Or just, again, I'm fascinated with these other side characters. I want a graphic novel about the guys who work in the Red Devil Sausage Factory in Gypsy Row in Boston. Yeah. Who are like, we're just trying to make these sausages, man, and a sign keeps turning into a real devil.
Yeah, they're all cursed.
You know, we got the trucks and...
They're just like, you know, they're like the most fucking Boston dudes, too. They're like Boston Union guys, like serious accents. It's like the best.
Dude, I got to paint a new fucking sign now every fucking time some son of Satan comes through here and the sign turns into a real devil. Maybe next time I'll paint like a lady with big boobs or something if it's going to become real, you know? Call like Big Boob Sausage Company or some shit. No, you're going to have a fucking devil. Good job.
Yep. So this devil like punches through their windshield, grabs Son of Satan and Doctor Lady, and then they take off.
Doctor Lady.
Yeah. I don't remember her name. Catherine. And then he flies over the top of the buildings. And we get this great, like, horror drawing.
Again, great panel.
Yeah, such a great panel, because it's like the girl who was supposed to get the tarot card reading, and she just has her hands up to her face, and she's screaming. So that's a really great panel. But they're like, the devil's flying over all the buildings, and he drops the doctor on a roof, and he takes the Son of Satan.
And Son of Satan really at this point should be like, do you know my dad?
Yeah, he
should know that guy.
Yeah, he's not... He's not really into his dad, though.
No, he isn't. But still, you're going to pull the dad card, when a devil is flying you over a building, that's the time to do it.
When the devil fell on his car, was he like, Dad?
Yeah.
Or at least he should know which demon this is. He's like, oh, geez.
When he's fighting a devil, I want him to go, to Georgia with you.
So he flies them to this place in Missouri, this like old mansion.
The devil went down to Missouri.
Yeah.
It's like a 4-day flight.
Yeah, it's fine.
There's snacks and a movie.
So he flies
deviled eggs. Oh, yeah.
And he drops him right through a skylight, because there's always a skylight. It has to be a skylight.
Well, it's there for Batman.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but this is Marvel.
But
yeah,
he flew him to DC. That's how long the flight was.
Like, we're actually going to go into the other company. Yeah. So he, like, drops
Gotham,
him.
Gotham, Missouri.
Drops him through this this skylight, and he wakes up, and he's in another one of his tarot cards. And he is in the headquarters of the Legion of Nihilists.
Ooh. Yeah.
Which,
who are all dressed like Romans.
Yeah. They're dressed like right. Romans, like, and everything around them looks like a medieval dining hall.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It's a medieval times. So
it's a
which is a lot of work
nihilists.
For nihilists to put in.
Right? That's my thought too. I was like, I don't know if they'd go through all this trouble.
Yeah. Maybe they're doing that medieval MMA in there. Yeah. Is that ends up happening? Because they start fighting with swords
they do have skirts on.
Yeah. So they're doing that medieval MMA, they got the license. They're like, hey, you know, we're gonna turn this old Shoney's into an MMA parlor.
To be fair, if a shirtless man in a cape just crashed through my ceiling, I would also get a sword and try to fight him.
Of course. Especially if he has a nice pentagram brand.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't mess
maybe
around.
Maybe if it was like a smiley emoji brand, you'd be like, oh, no, we're cool. But this is a pentagram
brand. It'd be great if he had a taco emoji on his chest or something, you know, just be like, oh, hey.
You're all right.
He's just into tacos.
But they know who he is, too. They're like, oh, it's...
He called ahead.
Yeah. Damien Hellstorm, the bringer of demons.
Party of one.
Party of one for Satan, comma, son of.
So they start fighting, and there's like swords and people getting their asses kicked and a bunch more ads. Because
there's that seven swords tarot card.
Yes.
So he's picking up
all the swords.
All seven swords.
And so then this chick shows up with like a metal bra and metal underwear.
Oh, it's a Red Sonja?
No, and it's not Valkyrie either. It's just
some random nihilist. And it's just some random nihilist who actually looks like she's an old lady because her hair's all gray. And she's
that's
like,
in now though.
Yeah, it
Hillary
is.
Duff, man. She's rocking. Totally... It's Hillary Duff. That's
Hillary Duff wearing metal underwear. And she's like, I am the equal to my brothers in strength and skill. And he's like, oh, great. So he just like knees her in the face. And that's the end of her.
Yes, that's great because I just kicked all their asses really easily.
She's like, and I'll kick yours too.
Yeah.
So he kicks all their asses. And then he's just standing there. And he's like, oh, I'm so exhausted. First, I zapped that gypsy lady for no reason. It really took a lot out of me. So I've been running on nervous energy. So he just like basically collapses, and then it's like he takes a nap just like in the middle of this hall.
Yeah.
In this house.
He's the first narcoleptic superhero.
And he's just like, oh, there's this looks like my three sword card, whatever. And he just like passes out in this place where I'm sure there's got to be more people.
Nihilists?
More nihilists than the ones he just beat up, but that's fine.
Yeah, nihilism is pretty popular. It's probably in the 70s and...
And then it just ends.
And then it just ends. That's it. It says next. Death is dawning. Next.
All comic books should end with them just going to bed.
Yeah. Like, I'm really tired.
Like, just going to bed, you know, like Bob Newhart. You know, just kind of sit, just tuck it in, you know, separate beds, you know. Just Superman just getting into bed. That's actually my new Tumblr. Superheroes getting into bed.
Yeah,
there'd be a ton of that. Yeah, you should do that.
Because I have a number of Tumblrs that I've been trying to create. One of them is Batman sitting.
Yep.
Because he doesn't. Apparently, he doesn't sit very often.
Oh, he does. He does.
But then I keep finding times where he sits. What was another one?
I think we were going to have one where it was like superheroes in sweaters. Because there's a lot of like pictures.
Oh, yeah, because there was that Captain America.
Yeah.
There's a Captain America issue with Porcupine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Porcupine, this is like when he was trying to sell the Porcupine armor.
Mm-hmm.
And so the guy, Alex, who was the Porcupine, shows up at the Serpent Society for, you know, to sell his armor. And he's just wearing like a big red sweater. Like he looks like Zach Galifianakis.
Yeah.
It's really, you know, and I was like, oh, we need more of that. We need to see if he can document more sweaters. Sweater vest. You know, if you would have wore the wolf sweater, we could have contacted that.
Exactly.
I would have had two posts on the Tumblr.
Wow. Yeah.
I think superheroes eating was another one
That one's a bit more common, I guess.
Yeah.
I feel like I've been seeing more of that since I kind of put that in my head.
Superheroes in bed is a good one.
Yeah, superheroes in bed. Yeah. I like that.
It's like fortune cookies. You just add it in bed. Superman? In bed?
But speaking of Dr. Fate and bed, and I guess we're going to get a little bit sexy here.
Oh, man.
Are you aware that Dr. Fate made his pornographic debut rather recently?
Yes, I was aware of that. Was it in the Wonder Woman?
I was not aware of this. I discovered this recently, and he was in the
Man of Steel.
Man of Steel,
but he didn't have sex. He just showed up.
Right.
He just showed up, and there was a thing. But in that one, he's full on, like helmet on.
Yeah.
thing out.
Yeah.
And
Naboo
yeah. is doing it. And yeah. I don't know much more than that. I had a friend online. His name was Tower of Fate on Twitter.
That's his real name?
Yes.
Okay.
Tower of Fate Johnson. And he, I haven't heard from him in a while. I think he discovered this and he just kind of was gone in shame because yeah. when Man of Steel came out, he was like, all right, I'm going to watch this. And thankfully, Dr. Fate doesn't have sex.
So he's got, I'm going to watch the pornographic Man of Steel.
Well, with those Axel Braun parodies, there's actually, you can watch the porno version or the story version.
That's worse than the porno version.
Right. But you can actually
but the stories
do
are actually pretty good.
They look pretty, I mean, they've done the a pretty good job to make them look good. Yeah. But, you know.
Yeah, I mean, if you're buying it, but, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, but, I mean, he hasn't been around, and I think he saw this.
Yeah.
And he just left in shame. And I haven't heard him on Twitter, so I'm worried about him. So if Tower of Fate, I know you live out in Burbank or somewhere, you're around. If you're listening to the show, just let me know you're okay. I know Dr. Fate getting filleted with his helmet on.
Yeah.
I don't know if anything – I don't know if he took the helmet out. I don't know if it was Inza. I don't know if it was – if this was the Strauss, if it was this version.
Well, yeah, because then you'd have a threesome.
Yeah. No, yeah, this was just – yeah, I just need to know if you're okay.
Yeah. Reach out. Reach out if you're okay. Tower of Fate.
Tower of Fate Johnson.
It's all right, man.
So this book was Marvel Spotlight
number
20 from February 1974. Of 1974.
My favorite year of Marvel.
Would you read the next issue?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
I hope I find the next issue. It's probably more Satan fun. Hopefully yeah. he barbecues another woman.
And maybe a wolf.
Yeah. Another overtly reference to his dad.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's pretty much every
issue. Had the Jesus reference in Dr. Yes. Fate with the sword, with the spear in the side, yeah. And now we have Satan over here. Yeah, but I would absolutely read the next
one. We're balancing it all out. So yeah. this is a good yin to yang situation here. So
yeah.
Great. Well, this has been fantastic. Ken, thank you so much for doing this.
Oh, thanks for having me. This has been fun.
And Ken, I believe you are here in Los Angeles to participate in the Riot Comedy Festival?
We come out every year to go to Riot.
Nice.
I'm not doing any shows in it this year, but we're just kind of hanging out because all our friends are around. And then I'm recording my second stand-up album on Monday, February 8th. February 8th is
awesome.
Monday at Nerd Melt.
Sunset.
Yep.
On Sunset Boulevard here in Los Angeles. Check out Nerd Melt. I think it's a Nerd Melt showroom.
Or? Yeah, it's a free show. It's at 9:00. I have some great guests doing guest spots. Greg Proops is going to do a spot, and Laura Keitlinger.
Proops' dog.
Yeah, so it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, so if you're in LA, come out and check that out.
Yeah, please support. And where can people find you?
I'm on iCanRead.com, and TVGuidanceCounselor.com is the podcast, but it's also on iTunes and all that jazz.
Yes, yes.
Awesome.
And please go there, rate, subscribe, and Twitter.
I'm at Kenneth W. Reed on Twitter and at TV Guidance.
Counselor. And of course, Kenneth W. Reed on Instagram.
On the Instagram, mm-hmm. yeah.
The best Instagram.
And check out Nick Chambers' songs from Instagram. They're catchy as hell and you'll be singing them forever. Yeah.
Dig it up. Yeah, definitely dig it. And you can find me on Twitter at Angry Hero Sean, SHAWN. You can also find me on my Tumblr at theangryhero.tumblr.com.
And I'm at Jen Stansfield on Twitter and Instagram, jenstansfield.tumblr.com, and jenstansfield.wordpress.com, where one day, hopefully this year, I will finish reviewing the entire series of the Gilmore Girls. Huh. I'm going to do it. But yeah, so that's it.
All right, folks. Well, thanks for listening, and we will see you again next week.
Bye.
Goodbye.